council reports calling for doubling of U.S. investment in agricultural research. What went into the study, and how did you arrive at that doubling being necessary?
So the doubling is something that the Chicago Council has been proposing for the past 3 or 4 years, sort of in all of our reports. That's kind of been kind of the big push. But part of where that came from, so we did a report about 2 years ago on agricultural innovation. And in that report, they sort of laid out the kind of the current trends. And the trend was, you know, U.S. investment in R&D, is, especially in agriculture, is really decreasing. And it's kind of, it's basically, we're not even doing enough R&D to sort of maintain the productivity levels of the past. And so not only do we need to increase it just to sort of keep at that baseline, but the U.S. just isn't competing with, especially with China, sort of doing a huge push in ag R&D, and a lot of other countries, a lot of the middle-income countries are now investing more in R&D than the U.S. is.
Are you looking at the investment from a government standpoint, and if so, has private industry funding picked up to pick up some of that slack?
Yeah, so private investment has really picked up a lot of the slack, except that investment is more on the applied side and more sort of obviously a lot closer to where they're going to make money rather than on the basic investment side. And so the public investment usually focuses more on the basic side, and then everything else is able to build off of that. And so when that's decreasing, it actually makes it harder. All of the public investment is a lot harder to, it doesn't have that sort of initial baseline that usually the public investment addresses.
General,
they are picking up, but it's not, it doesn't replace the public investment needed, I guess.
It's in a different avenue is what it boils down to here.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting note here on the report, and that was that U.S. public agricultural investment has declined more than 20% from the peak in 1994, and that has shown up in the back off in productivity.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's hard because there's such a lag time, especially in ag research. So even though, you know, even with decline, you won't see the effects of the decline, you know, for maybe 30 years, and then suddenly you realize 30 years have passed. Productivity is going down, and now you have to make up for 30 years of investments, and it's, you know, obviously a lot harder then.
There are some specifics that the report calls for the U.S. to do. Could you touch on those a bit?
Sure. So a few of the things just in particular that we've been looking at in recent years are sort of what climate change is going to do to agriculture and sort of how can we be investing with climate change in mind, and what do we need to be doing now to better prepare for that and build that resilience that is needed in the agricultural sector? So that was a big focus. Another focus for us is building research capacity, the support for university and research institutions in developing countries in particular is really, it's declined a lot in recent years, sort of as budgets get tighter, that's kind of one of the things that goes, and so we're not investing in that either. So we're decreasing investment at home, but we're also not sort of helping in the same way that we have in the past. So we used to have tons of, students coming to study here, getting their PhDs and going back, and they're kind of, currently, a lot of those people are the leaders in agricultural development now, and because we don't do that as much anymore, we don't have that sort of next generation of leaders. So building that research capacity is another big piece of it. Nutrition is another sort of key priority area that I think is not being addressed, but we're not making the connection between agriculture and nutrition that's necessary. I think, you know, there's a lot of nutrition interventions and stuff going on, but sort of the key point is that agriculture basically dictates nutrition. And so you can do all of the different breastfeeding interventions and whatever other nutrition interventions you want. But basically agriculture is shaping nutrition around the world. And so with half of the world being affected by malnutrition, and that includes a lot of, especially obesity in the U.S. It's just agriculture has a huge role to play in nutrition as well.
Is this something that you kind of get into a political tangle once in a while? I'm thinking of GM as opposed to non-GM, organic. There are just so many factors that are there elements that say, okay, we need to spend research, but we don't need to spend research dollars in that direction.
Definitely. I mean, I think, and that's part of why all of this is so problematic, because you get into sort of the different political debates around all of, you know, obviously climate change is a big one. GMOs are a big one, and so it's kind of whatever your stance is on climate change, we still need to do something about it because there, you know, we're having these severe weather around the world. You know, all of this stuff, whatever you want, whatever you believe in about climate change, things are changing and we need to adapt to it. And agriculture is going to be probably one of the most affected sectors. Same with GMOs. I think how you do it is up for debate, but the fact that we need to be investing in whatever kind of research to be able to produce enough food to feed the world in 2050, I think that's, all of that is a given, however you want to do it, but I definitely think the political issues make it trickier for people to, you know, make the decisions about how.
And along that vein, there are those in the political spectrum who feel that we shouldn't be funding university research and things like that. I mean, look at some of the cuts that universities have seen in the budgetary process. They're saying that, look, private enterprise is going to benefit. They believe that private enterprise is the one who should invest and therefore benefit from this.
That's true. I mean, I still think that I think people don't also neglect sort of, you don't see basic research, you know, the National Science Foundation, there's a lot of this basic research that happens that people don't realize underlies basically everything we do, you know, and so it's kind of, it's a neglected area that plays a lot bigger role than people realize.
One of the interesting points, and that is to reduce food waste, and I know this is something that's been studied quite extensively or recent, and most notably that the poorer countries lose a lot of food in the field or before it gets to the market, and the more established, the richer countries lose a lot of food because it's being thrown away because of expiration dates and so on. How do we turn the corner on this whole thing?
I mean, it's a huge problem, and if you think about us needing to produce 50 or 60% more food by 2050, I mean, the amount of food that's wasted could go a long way towards, you know, not producing more, but reducing what we need to produce. So both on the farm gate side, which is not, it isn't as big of a problem here just because everything's so mechanized, but that's a huge piece of it in developing countries, and especially with climate change and with, you know, climate change bringing increased pests and more problems with hotter climates and everything, it's only going to get worse. And so those infrastructure, I mean, I think it's essentially infrastructure because it's not necessarily at the farm that, you know, a lot of it's being wasted. People really do a good job of sort of making use of everything that they possibly can. But when you don't have the infrastructure to get, especially fruits and vegetables, to even a local market, you know, everything's rotting along the way, and I think the infrastructure is really the key piece there.
Are we, because of climate change, seeing that we're going to have a drift of the growing areas in both hemispheres, that, you know, the Sahara Desert's going to expand further south and our corn belt's going to move north?
Oh, definitely. And I mean, it's just, you know, and I think, you know, especially sort of in the Midwest, we think, oh, that's not really that big of a deal. This is sort of more of an area that may benefit because fine, we'll have a longer growing season or whatever. But if you think about sort of over the longer term, that needing to move, I mean, we can't just move all of our farms up to Canada. You know, it's not feasible. How are we going to, you know, we need to be thinking about this because with all of that stuff changing, especially, I mean, in the tropics, like who knows what's going to happen and how, where they'll be able to grow any of this stuff. So I think it's definitely a key issue.
I know another concern in agriculture, and that is the people to do this, that there is just a tremendous shortage of individuals going into agriculture, ag-related fields, be it research, production agriculture, whatever the case may be. How do we how do we get more people involved in this?
I mean, it's funny because I feel like with young people today, agriculture is somehow becoming cool again. You know, people are more excited about their food. They're really thinking about how it's produced, and they really care about what they're eating, and, you know, that it's produced sustainably or that it's, you know, traded fairly or whatever. So I feel like we're already seeing some sort of resurgence into agriculture, but I think it's going to be in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, urban agriculture is something that young people are really interested in, and figuring out how they can live in a city but still, you know, contribute to the food system. And I think there's a lot of young people moving out to farms who didn't grow up on farms but are sort of starting to want to contribute in that way. And so I feel like it's already starting, sort of that shift, but we definitely need, I mean, we just need more people. There's, you know, when companies, like these seed companies, are looking for talent, and there's nobody in the agriculture, you know, in the agricultural universities and stuff, there aren't people to hire. So I definitely think something needs to change in either how we educate, like, according to what, you know, I mean, according to the needs of the sector, but also just getting people interested again.
So where to for the report? What happens to this now? Who does the information go to? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, so one of the reasons that we put this together now was with the newly established USDA Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. We're hoping that will sort of leverage some, you know, the idea is making sort of more of the connection, getting private sector funding and making more of a connection of what research is needed. And so we were hoping to sort of contribute to that discussion as they figure out, you know, as they sort of launch the new foundation, what are they going to focus on? What issues do they need to be thinking about as they start funding and deciding sort of where to go with that?